We continue Be'ezat Hashem in Masechet Moed Katan. We are on the top line of Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Baruch Ben Shlomo, Shlomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shuli Kavat Chana, Simcha Bat Ladisya, Esther Bat Ladisya, Neima Shalom. In the Mishnah, we saw on Dav Vav, it said Rabbi Yehuda Omer Misdeh Ha'ilan Kedarko, Umisdeh Ha'Lavan Shelo Kedarko. When it comes to trapping mice in the field, so in the Sedeh Ha'ilan, in an orchard, on Chol HaMoed we're allowed to place traps in the usual way, Kedarko, because or else it's a big loss. Umisedeh HaLavan, and in a field of grain, Shelo Kedarko, we're only allowed on Chol HaMoed to set up the traps in an unusual way. And the Gemara now brings a braita to explain. Tanu Rabbanan, ketzad kedarko, what would be considered the usual way? Chofer guma v'tole ba metzuda. The normal, usual way is chofer guma, he digs a hole in the ground, and he hangs a trap in the hole, or on right on the top of the hole. Ketzad shelo kedarko, what would be an unusual way? Noetz shefud, he sticks a metal stick into, like a spade or a spit, into the ground where he suspects that there are mice or rodents. So he sticks a shefud into the ground. Umake bakordom, he hits the shefud with a kordom, with a type of hammer. Umrade, or some read umraded, Ha'adama mitachteha, and you press the earth underneath, and until you find and kill the rodents. So that would be the unusual way. Tanya, we learned in a braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, "Kesheamru misedeh lavan shelo kedarko." When the halacha was stated before in the Mishnah that by a sedeh lavan, by a grain field, the only way to do it on Chol HaMoed is Shelo Kedarko, Lo Amru Ela Bisdeh Lavan Asmucha La'ir. That was only said regarding a Sedeh Lavan, a field of grain, that is close to the city. So therefore the damage would be very little to that field, and it doesn't extend anywhere else. Aval Bisdeh Lavan Asmucha L'Sedeh Ha'ilan. But let's say you have a field of grain that is right adjacent to an orchard, to a sedeh ilan. So then, afilu kedarko. Then you're allowed to set up the traps on Chol HaMoed in the sedeh lavan, even in the usual way, because shema yetzu mi sedeh alavan v'yachrivu et ha'ilanot. Because if you don't take care of the mice in the field grain, they might come out from there and go into the orchard and destroy the trees, and that would be a big loss, a great damage. Then it said in the Mishnah, Umkarin et ha'pirtza b'moed, and we are allowed to seal a breach in the wall of the garden during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara explains, Ketzad mekarin, how are we allowed to seal the breach? Rav Yosef Amar, Behutza v'dafna. You're allowed to seal the breach, to close up the hole in the wall of the garden using palm branches, like lulav branches. And dafna also is a type of, a similar branch to the lulav, is called a dafna. So with these types of branches, you're allowed to seal up the hole. So this is a temporary type of a patch-up job. And that is what's mutar to do on Chol HaMoed. B'matnita tana, we learned in a braita, Tsar bitzror ve'enotach betit. Another way of filling up the breach is tsar bitzror. You put stones there, but you don't ve'enotach betit. You don't plaster the stones with clay. So you just cover up the hole temporarily with a stack of stones without plastering them, without connecting, gluing them together. Amar Rav Chisda says, Lo shanu ela kotel hagina, aval kotel hechatzer bone kedarko. Rav Chisda explains that this that we said, that on Chol HaMoed you're only allowed to seal the breach in a way that's unusual, but not to build a wall. That's only by kotel hagina, by a wall of a garden. But in a wall of a chatzer, bone kedarko, if it's a wall of your courtyard, so that's not only to, you know, protect your plants, that's to prevent any strangers or, you know, robbers from coming in. So then, in that case, by the chatzer, bone kedarko, you're allowed to build a wall in the usual way, even on Chol HaMoed. So again, Rav Chisda is explaining that this that we say mekarin et ha-pirtza b'moed, which is vehutza v'dafna, or tzar b'tzror v'notach betit, which are temporary ways, that's only by the kotel hagina. Because you can, it's not such a big loss, you'll temporarily close up the hole, and then after the chag, you'll do it in a permanent way. Whereas by kotel echatzel, where there's more worry of loss, it's a bigger de'aga, in that case, bone kedarko, you're allowed to build a wall as the normal way. So the Gemara says, Leima mesaye ale, maybe the following braita supports this explanation of Rav Chisda. What does it say in the braita? Kotel hagohe lirshut harabim, a wall that is leaning over, it's bending over towards the Rishut HaRabim, towards the public domain, and it's likely to fall. So during Chol HaMoed, soter ubone kedarko mipene hasakana. You're allowed to soter, to first demolish the wall, take it down, and then ubone kedarko, and then to rebuild it in its usual way, even during Chol HaMoed, because of the sakana, because it's dangerous. It might fall on someone who's passing by. So, lecha'ora, we see from here like Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, by a wall of a chatzer, bone kedarko. And that's what it says here. That by the wall of the chatzer that's bending over, you're allowed to be bone kedarko. You're allowed to build it in its usual way. But the Gemara pushes off this proof. It's not a support. It's not a siyua to Rav Chisda. Hatam kediktane tama. Over there, the reason is, as the Braita explicitly explains, the reason, mipene hasakana, because of the danger. It's bending over the Rishut HaRabim, so it might cause someone to get hurt. But not because of the protection that the wall is going to afford the chatzer. So maybe just in this case, you're allowed to be bone kedarko. It doesn't mean that in any case of a hole in the wall of a chatzer, you're allowed to be bone kedarko. So therefore, not necessarily is this braita a support to the words of Rav Chisda. The Gemara now is going to tell us a different version of this discussion that we just had. Ve'ika de Amri. Some say that the braita was not mentioned as a support for Rav Chisda, rather it was mentioned as a question on Rav Chisda. After Rav Chisda said his explanation that by chatzer bone kedarko, tashema, someone came and said, well, listen to this baita, this is a question. Kotel hagohe lirshut harabim, a wall that is of a chatzer that is bent over, that is leaning over to rishut harabim, soter uvone kedarko mipene hasakana. Oh, so what do we see from this baita? Mipene hasakana in, only because of sakana, shelo mipene hasakana, lo. But if it's not because of sakana, then you're not allowed. Lema tehevet tiyuvta de Rav Chisda. Maybe this is a question, actually, on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, "Eni chatzer bone kedarko an Chol HaMoed." In the Braita, it's mashma only when the issue is a danger. So it's a question on Rav Chisda. Amar lach Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda can answer you that it's not a contradiction on him. Hatam soter uvone. Over there, in the case where there is sakana, you're allowed to do two things. Soter, you're allowed to demolish the wall and build it from scratch. Hacha bone velo soter. But here, in the case of the regular wall of the chatzer, so when I said bone kedarko, I meant bone. You're allowed to build the wall that has been breached in the usual way. Velo soter, but not to demolish it, just build it. So therefore, that's the difference between the Braita and my statement. The Gemara asks, Hatam nami listor velo livne? The Gemara says, what about over there also in the case of the leaning wall where it's dangerous? Why do we allow the person to do both, to demolish and to build? On Chol HaMoed, let the person listor, let him demolish it, so therefore he removes the danger. Velo livni, but he shouldn't rebuild it until after the chag. Well, why does he have to build it immediately? So the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. You can't say that because imken mimna velo soter. Because if you're going to say that he's only allowed to demolish it and not to build it, he might just not do anything. He might not demolish it at all. He's going to save the whole job for after the chag. And then that will leave a problem of danger for people. And therefore, in order to encourage him to remove the danger, he's allowed to do both, not only to demolish, but also to build it up. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Matniti nami daika. The words in our Mishnah also shows like the Pirush of Rav Chisda, which means this that Rav Chisda told us before, that the Mishnah that says that you're allowed to be bone only with Hutza v'dafna, that's only by a kotel gina, by a kotel chatzer, bone kedarko. Says Rav Ashi, we can tell that that is the case from the wording of the Mishnah as well. What does it say in the Mishnah? The katane, it states, u'bashevi'it bone kedarko. However, during the Shvi'it year, he can build the wall in his usual way. So now let's figure out, the Gemara says, Deheicha. Where is this wall that the Mishnah is referring to that you're allowed to build on Shvi'it? Ilema dechatzer, if we're talking about a wall of a chatzer, tzricha lemima, do you have to tell me that on Shvi'it you're allowed to build a wall of chatzer? Why would you not be allowed? How, that's not even close to being any kind of agricultural labor that is not allowed on the Shvi'it. You're allowed to do construction on Shvi'it. So why would I think by Chatzel not? So it cannot be talking about Chatzel. What's the Chidush? El alav degina must be, the Mishnah is talking about the Kotel of Gina. And if you ask, what would be the Chidush for that? That during Shvi'it you're allowed to build the wall for the Gina? Because by building the wall, by your garden, by your Gina, well, then it looks like you are just building a protection for your produce, for your plants. So that is something that is connected at least to the working of the land. You are protecting the produce. It also shows that you're not mafkir, that you are not, that it looks like you're not releasing it from your ownership by building a wall. So I would have thought that maybe that's not allowed to be done during the Shvi'it. Shma mina. That's why the Mishnah is mechadesh, that for the Gina, you are allowed, for the Gina as well, you are allowed to build back the wall. So what do we see here? That the Mishnah is talking about Davka Kotel HaGina. So therefore, by Chol HaMoed also, it is by Kotel Gina that Bone Shelo Kedarko. But if it's of the Chatzer, you're allowed to be Bone Kedarko, like Rav Chisda told us. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, I just want to give a few introductory points before we begin. This Mishnah is going to talk about the procedure in which the Kohen is posek, decides the status of the metzora, of a person, if he's tameh betzarat or if he's taho, which means there are a few stages. First, you have a person who's taho, and he might have some symptoms that look like tzarat, but they're actually called simanet tahara. They are symptoms that he is tahor and has nothing to do with tzarat. So that's one case. But then you can have a case where he has more simanim and he's worried, maybe I am a metzora, and you have to go to the kohen. The kohen goes, v'ra'ahu kohen, the pasuk says. The kohen checks him and he sees that he doesn't necessarily have clear-cut simanim of tzara'at, but it's a question. It might get to that point. So he puts him in what's called hezger. It says, ve'hezgiro shivat yamim. He quarantines him. He puts him in quarantine for a week. After that 1 week, the Kohen comes back and he checks him. So now, at that point, if he sees that he doesn't have simanim of tum'ah, but also not simanim of tahara either, so he's still in a state of a safek. So then he quarantines him for a second week. There's a second week of hezger. So the first week is called, let's call him a muzgar rishon. The second week is called a muzgar sheni. Then you have what's called muchlat. Muchlat means if, let's say, the Kohen came and saw that indeed he does have simanim of tzarat, of tum'ah, so then he is muchlat. He confirms him as a metzora, and that's when he has to go chutz l'machane, he has to leave the society, has to go out of the community to be isolated by himself. And then the Kohen comes back to see if he is taho. Once he sees that the simanim of tzarat finished and he became taho, then he has to count 7 days, and afterwards he becomes totally pure and he can come back. So those are the stages. You have taho, muzgar, muzgar rishon, muzgar sheni. You have muchlat, and then there is the 7 days afterwards that he has to count of tahara. Now, the halakha is that when the person who is maybe a metzora, when he's muzgal, when he's in quarantine, the halakha is that he's not allowed to be with his wife, but he's still allowed to be in the company of people. It's just that marital relations with his wife are not allowed. He has to be quarantined. Then, if he becomes a metzora muchlat, if he becomes a confirmed metzora, so then at that time, michutz l'machane moshavo, he has to be away from people, but he's allowed to be with his wife. As we're going to see, there's a machloket, we'll see in the Gemara later, but most opinions hold that he's allowed to be with his wife when he is tameh muchlat, when he's not allowed to be with people, but with his wife he is allowed. And then, after the Kohen decides that he is tahor and he has to count 7 days, those 7 days we're going to see, he's once again asur to be with his wife. He's not allowed to be to have marital relations with his wife. Okay, so we're going to review all that. Those are the few stages of the tzara'at, of the mitzora. And now let's see the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, ro'im et hanega'im batechila lehakel, aval lo leachmir. When there are symptoms of metzora, when they appear, symptoms of tzara'at, so they have to be checked by the Kohen, and the Kohen is the one who decides if these symptoms qualify as tzara'at. So now, is the Kohen allowed to look, to check, and to decide upon these symptoms during Chol HaMoed or not, is the machloket over here. Rabbi Meir says, "Ro'im et hanega'im batechila le'akel." A Kohen is allowed to come and to check the person, to check his symptoms of tzara during Chol HaMoed, le'akel, only in order to be lenient, which means he's allowed to be posek, to decide that this person is tameh, is taho, I'm sorry. He is taho, he's free of leprosy. Aval lo le'achmir, but he's not allowed to give a psak that he is tameh. The Kohen is not allowed to pronounce the person that he is tameh. As we're going to see explained in the Gemara, that it is up to the Kohen to decide if the person is tameh or taho. The person does not become tameh until the Kohen says so. He has to say that he is tameh. So therefore, if he sees that he's tahor, let him tell him that he's tahor. Fine, he'll be happy with that. But to tell him to say a psak that he's tameh and make him tameh, that's going to remove the Simchat Yom Tov from here. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, lo lehachmir. Look in Rashi. She'im ro'eh ha-kohen she'u tameh. If the Kohen sees that he is tameh, eno omer klum. The Kohen should not say anything. She'im metameo, because if he will say that he's tameh, nimtza metza'aro ba-moed. He's giving the person tzar during the chag. V'rachamana amar v'samachta v'chagecha. You have to be happy during the chag. So Rabbi Meir says, the Kohen is allowed to come and check the simanim. But he's allowed to pronounce the person only taho. If he sees he's taho, tell him he's taho. But if he sees that the simanim are in fact tzarat, he shouldn't say anything. And once he doesn't say anything, he's delaying the time of the tumah. He's not tameh yet. V'chachamim omrim lo leakel ve'lo lachmir. Chachamim say, no, you can't do that. The Kohen should not come at all during Chol HaMoed to check the symptoms. Not to be lenient and not to be stringent. As we're going to see, if he would be allowed to check, then he's going to have to also be posek le'achmir. You can't go one way and not the other. So therefore, it's better that he should not come to check at all. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Once again, summary of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says a Kohen could come on Chol HaMoed to check the symptoms, but he's only allowed to be posek le'hakel, but he's not allowed to be posek le'achmir. If he sees reason to be posek le'achmir, he has to be quiet. Chachamim say he shouldn't come to check at all, not for lehakel and not for leachmir. Tanya, we learned in a braita. Rabbi Meir omer, roim et hanegaim lehakel, aval lo leachmir. Rabbi Yossi omer lo lehakel velo leachmir. We see here that Rabbi Yossi is the chachamim of our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir, like we saw in our Mishnah, he says the Kohen is allowed to come and check the negaim to be mekel, but not to be machmir. Rabbi Yossi is saying what the chachamim said in the Mishnah, that the Kohen is not allowed to come at all, not to check le'akel velo le'achmir. Why? She'im ata nizkak lo le'akel, ata nizkak lo af le'achmir. Because if you're going to come to check him, to see if he's le'akel, if he's tahor, then in case you see that he is tameh, you're going to also have to pronounce that he is tameh. You can't go only halfway. And therefore, that will be a problem on Chol HaMoed. You'll be removing the simchat achag from the person. Therefore, better not to come at all. Amar Rabbi, the Braita continues and says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, Nir'in divrei Rabbi Meir bemusgar. The words of Rabbi Meir appear to be more correct regarding the musgar, the quarantined metzora, and v'divrei Rabbi Yossi bemuchlat. And the psak of Rabbi Yossi, it seems more correct regarding a muchlat. Which means that Rabbi Meir, who allowed the Kohen on Chol HaMoed to come and check the Negaim Le'akel, that makes sense to do by a Musgar, which means if the Metzorah is quarantined and the Kohen is coming to check to see if he became Tameh for sure or not, and this happens during Chol HaMoed, so that's when we say that yes, he can come and he can check to see if he's Tahor or to see if he's Tameh. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi's word, who says that he should not, that the Kohen is not allowed to come during Chol HaMoed, that makes sense more by the Mukhlat, to come and to check the confirmed Metzorah. And now the Gemara is going to explain that. Amar Rava. Rava says, Betahor kule alma lo pligi de lo chazule. Regarding a person who has symptoms of tzara'at, but he's still tahor, which means he wasn't checked yet by a Kohen at all. So then everyone agrees, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, de lo chazule, that on Chol HaMoed, that's not the time to start now and to check, because it's only going to be, you can only make it worse, right? If you tell him now that he's going to be quarantined, you're ruining his Simchat HaChag. So, betahor, regarding a person who is still in a status of tahara, the Kohen didn't see him at all, ever, so in that case, to do it for the first time on Chol HaMoed, not allowed. Even according to Rabbi Meir. Behezger Rishon, de kule alma lo pligi de chazele. Which means like this. If we're talking about a Metzorah who did his first week of Hezger, of quarantine. So that's called Behezger Rishon. Now, after that week, the first week ended, and it ended during Chol HaMoed. So here in this case, kule alma lo pligi, everybody agrees, de chazele. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree that the Kohen is allowed to come and check him. Why? Because here you have nothing to lose. If he sees that he's tahor, so then he takes him out of quarantine. Oh, chag sameach. That's a happy news to hear during the chag. If he sees that he has to keep him for another week, vizgiro shenit, so then, okay, it's no worse than he was anyway. He was already in quarantine, so he's not making it any worse. So therefore, that would be allowed. Ki pligi behezger sheni. When is it that they have the machloket? It's regarding a metzorah that already spent a second week of quarantine. He already did the second week. So now, for the Kohen to come during Chol HaMoed to decide the status of the person, of the metzorah, that is where we have the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Mar savar bekohen talya milta. Rabbi Meir, he holds that everything depends on the kohen, which means itahor amar letahor. If he's taho, then he can tell him taho. He's happy. So what if it's chol hamoed? Ve'itame, if he will see that he's tame, shatik. The kohen can stay silent, and therefore he doesn't make him tame. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, even by a muzgar sheni, you could come. That's what the Mishnah is saying, that according to Rabbi Meir, you're allowed, ro'im et ha-negaim, you're allowed to come and see the negaim of the muzgar sheni, even during Chol HaMoed, because what do you have to lose? It all depends on the Kohen's decision. So therefore, if he sees his taho, tell him his taho, and Chag Sameach. But if he sees that he's tameh, the Kohen has the authority to remain silent, and thereby not making the person tameh. Umar Savar, but Rabbi Yossi holds, you shouldn't come at all. Why? Letaharo o letameo ketiv. It says in the Pasuk that's the halakha of the Metzorah, that the Kohen comes to be metaher or to be metameh. Which means, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Kohen cannot remain silent. Which means, just like he's obligated to tell him he's tahor, if he sees he's tahor, letameo, if he sees that he's tameh, he has to tell him he's tameh, he cannot remain silent. And therefore, if he comes, that's going to be a problem. What if he sees that he's tameh, he has to tell him he's tameh? And now it's Chol HaMoed, then he's going to kick him out of society and tell him he's a tameh mukhlat. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yossi says, in this case, he should not come at all. Because once he does come, he's going to have to pronounce the halakha one way or another. So the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is it bekohen talia milta? Does it depend on the words of the kohen? Does he have the option to keep silent? Or does he have to, once he sees the negaim, he has to decide either letahara or letum'ah. He cannot withhold his psak of tum'ah. And that's why the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Amar Mar, we mentioned before, Amar Rabbi said, Nir'im divrei Rabbi Yossi bemuchlat, ve'divrei Rabbi Meir bemuzgar. Remember? Rabbeinu HaKadosh says that the words of Rabbi Yossi, that the Kohen should not come, is more correct by muchlat. And the words of Rabbi Meir, who says that the Kohen could come on Chol HaMoed to check, is more correct by the case of the muzgar. So the Gemara asks, ve'hatanya ipcha, a two-word question. Ve'hatanya ipcha, but we have a braita that says exactly the opposite. There's a braita that says that Rabbi said that nir'im divrei Rabbi Yossi in muzgar, and nir'im divrei Rabbi Meir in muchlat. That Rabbi Yossi is more correct in muzgar, and Rabbi Meir is more correct in muchlat. So we have a contradiction between two braitaot. What did Rabbeinu HaKadosh say regarding the words of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir? So this is a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, Tanaehi Aliba de Rabbi. It is a machloket Tanaim, what Rabbi really said. And you know what the machloket revolves around? A very, very interesting psychological thought. And that is, they argue about the following. Mar savar tzavta de alma adifle, umar savar tzavta de ishto adifale. Let me explain. One holds, tzavta de alma adifle, that a person is more interested in the company of people. He prefers that more than any other company. Let me explain. One holds, which means the one who wrote the Braita of Ipcha, the one who holds that Rabbi Meir is more correct by Muchlat, by the Metzorah Muchlat, by the confirmed Metzorah. So he holds like that. You know why? You know why it's more correct to say like Rabbi Meir that the Kohen can come to the Muchlat and decide on Chol HaMoed? It's because tzavta de alma adifle. Because when the Kohen comes to the Muchlat, what does it mean, a Muchlat? He was already mechutz lamachane. He was away from society, right? And now comes the Kohen to check if he became tahor or not. So according to Rabbi Meir, he could go to check. Why? Because what do you have to lose? If he will see that he's tameh, okay, so then he tells him he's tameh, and he stays the same as before. He was muchlat, he continues to be muchlat. There's no loss of simchat achag. It's the same as before. But there's a possibility that maybe he is tahor. And if he is tahor, he's going to leave the michutz lamachane, he's going to come back into society, and that will cause him a lot of happiness. So there is a chance for him to come back to tzavta de alma, and therefore that's adifle. It's better for him. Whereas umar savar tzavta de ishto adifale, which means, according to this opinion, it's better for the kohen not to come and to check out the mitzorah muchlat. Because if he comes to the muchlat and he declares that he is tahor, so now, remember what happens after he becomes tahor. He has to count 7 days of tahara. And if you remember, I told you, during those 7 days that he counts tahara, although he's back together with people, but he's not allowed to be with his wife for those 7 days. So that will cause him distress. Even though he came back to people, he doesn't care about that. He cares to be with his wife. And that's why the kohen should not come at all to the muchlat. So the difference between the machloket here, where is Rabbi Meir's opinion of allowing the kohen to come and check? Where is it more correct? Is it more correct by the muzgar or the muchlat? Depends on what we hold people prefer. Do people prefer more the company of the world? Or do they prefer the company of their wife? Some people are like this and some people like that. And that's why it leads to this machloket. So if you say people rather have the company of the world, right? So then we say that the kohen could come to the tameh muchlat and examine him, because then it could be very good for him if he sees that he is tahor. Now he's allowed to be back with people. The fact that he's not allowed to be with his wife for 7 days, okay, but at least he's able to be back with the company of people. Whereas the other one, the one who holds tzavta de ishto adifale, that he prefers the company of his wife, so then it's better not to come to check the tameh muchlat. Because if he sees that he's tahor, now for 7 days he's going to be not allowed to be with his wife. And that's the reason for the machloket, what Rabbeinu HaKadosh said. So the Gemara asks, Lememra de muchlat mutar betashmish amita? Is this to say that a tameh muchlat is allowed to be with his wife? Because just to be clear here, what did we say till now? When he is muchlat, when he's michutz lamachane moshavo, he's not allowed to be with people, but with his wife, he is allowed. Once he gets out of being muchlat, once he becomes tahor, and now he starts counting the 7 days we just said, then he has to count 7 clean days. He's not allowed to be with his wife, although he's back with people, but he's not allowed to be with his wife. But beforehand, by the muchlat, while he was still muchlat, while he was still ostracized from everyone, michutz lamachaneh, he was allowed to be with his wife. Is that true, the Gemara is asking? Lememra, you're telling me the muchlat mutar betashmish amita? The Gemara says, yes, v'hatanya, as we learned in the Braita. It says in the pasuk, v'yashav michutz le'aholo shivat yamim. This pasuk is talking about when the Metzorah is counting his 7 days after he became tahor. When the Kohen pronounced him tahor, so then he counts 7 days. So during these 7 days, it says, v'yashav michutz le'aholo shivat yamim. He should dwell outside of his tent, of his home, for 7 days. What do we see from these words? Sheyehe asur betashmish amita. Michutz le'aholo means away from his wife. He's not allowed to have tashmish amita. Ve'en aholo ela ishto. As we know, the word aholo in the pasuk can be referring, which means tent, can be referring to his wife. Shene'emar, as it states elsewhere, in Parashat Vayitchanan, lech emor lahem shuvu lachem le'aholechem. Go and tell them they can return to their tents. And over there we know it means that Moshe Rabbeinu told them they are allowed, after Matan Torah, to go back to be with their wives. So you see, Aholechem refers to their wives. So here when it says, V'yashav michutz le'aholo shivat yamim, it refers to his wife. So during the 7 days of clean days that he counts, after he became tahor, he's asur betashmish amita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shivat Yamim Yisperulo, he counts those 7 days of Tahara, Yemes Fero Velo Yemechiluto. It comes to teach me that Dafka during the seven days that he counts, is he not allowed to be with his wife. But Yemechiluto, but when he was a confirmed Metzora, when he was michutz lamachane bichlal, then he was allowed to be with his wife. So yeah, you see from Rabbi Yehuda that muchlat is mutal mitashmish amita. It's only afterwards, during the shivat yemes fira, that he's not allowed mitashmish amita. Rabbi Yossi barabbi Yehuda omer, Yossi barabbi Yehuda argues, he holds shiva yemes firo kalvachomer limechiluto. If even during the 7 days of tahara that he has to count, he's not allowed to be with his wife, then surely, kal vachomer, during the time when he is muchlat, he wasn't allowed to be with his wife. But that's only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. As we're going to see, the halakha goes like the opinion that we saw before, by Rabbi Yehuda, that only yemes sfiro velo yemechiluto. Ve'ama Rabbi Chia says, danti lifnei Rabbi. Rabbi Chia says, I was learning this matter before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And I told him, Limatanu Rabenu, Rabenu, did you not teach us? Yotam lo haya lo le'uziyahu ela bimechiluto. This Yotam was a king, and he was the son of the king Uziyahu. Yotam ben Uziyahu. And Rabbi Chia is telling Rabenu HaKadosh that Rabenu HaKadosh taught them that Yotam was born to Uziyahu from Yemechiluto. Now we know Uziyahu in Sefer Melachim, it tells us that he was a Metzora. He had Tzara'at. And so Rabbeinu HaKadosh taught that it was actually during the days of his Chilut, when he was Metzora Muchlat, when he was Michutz Lamachane, Moshavo, that's when he was with his wife and conceived his son Yotam. So you see that Metzora Muchlat is allowed B'Tashmish Amitah. Amar lo, af ani, kach amarti. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi told him, yes, I said this. I am also of that opinion that a mitzora muchlat is allowed in tashmish amita with his wife, not like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara explains, b'mayka miflegi, why do they disagree? What is the machloket revolving around? If a mitzora muchlat is allowed b'tashmish amita or not? So Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda holds that is asur not only bimei sfiro but also bimei chiluto. Savar galer rachmana bimei sfiro bekol sheken bimei chiluto. The reason why Rabbi Yossi holds like that is because the Torah revealed that during the 7 days that he counts, yemes sfiro, is not allowed b'tashmish amita, as it says, michutz le'aholo, like we saw before. The Torah revealed it there, and we on our own, we understand, kol sheken, if even in the days of tahara is not allowed, then definitely b'mei chiluto, when he's a mitzora muchlat, he's not allowed to be with his wife. That's Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning. Umar savar, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, may de gale gale, what the Torah revealed is revealed. What the Torah did not reveal, which means the Torah revealed to us that during the Yemei Sfiro, during the 7 days that he counts of Tahara, he's not allowed to be with his wife. But during the days of Muchlat, the Torah did not say that he's Asur, and therefore he's Mutar. Now the Gemara goes back to the Machloket that we had before of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. If the Kohen is allowed to come and check the Metzorah during Chol HaMoed. Remember? According to Rabbi Meir, he is allowed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not allowed to come. Lo le'akel ve'lo le'achmir. Rabbi Yossi, not allowed to come. Lo le'akel ve'lo le'achmir. So now the Gemara is asking, Le'meimra de be'kohen talia milta? Is this true? Are you telling me that it really depends on the words of the Kohen? Which means that the Kohen could decide whether to declare the person tahor or not, which means he has the option to keep quiet, and if he's quiet, then he's not tameh, and only if he says that he's tameh, is that so? Because that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir that we saw before. And the Gemara said, in. The Gemara says, yes, that's the case. Vehatanya, as we learn from a braita, we learn it from a pasuk, uveyom heraot bo, on the day when the simanim, when the symptoms appear to him, on the day when he shows his symptoms to the Kohen. So from the words, ubeyom hera'ot po, on the day, we see that yesh yom shataro ebo, veyesh yom she'iataro ebo. We see from here that there is a day when you could check the symptoms, and there is a day when you cannot, when you don't have to check his symptoms. Let me just make something clear that really the Gemara here is discussing both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yossi before, which means according to both of them, it depends on the Kohen. It's just that Rabbi Meir held that the Kohen has the option to keep quiet, but Rabbi Yossi held that he doesn't come at all. Once he comes, he doesn't have the option to be quiet. He has to be posek either tahor or tameh, but he can choose not to come at all. So, according to both, the Gemara was asking, Lememra de Kohen talia milta, you're telling me that it depends on the Kohen if he comes or if he doesn't come? If he comes, then it's possible to be tameh. If he doesn't come, then nothing happens? So the Gemara said, yeah, that's the truth. As we learned in the Braita, that we learned from the Pasuk, ubeyom hera'od bo, from the fact that the Pasuk says, ubeyom hera'od bo, from here we see there are some days where ataro ebo, and there is a possibility, there is an option of days where I ataro ebo, that you don't have to come and to check. So what are examples of this? Mikan amru, the Braita continues and says, from here we learn, chatan, shenolad bonega. Let's say a chatan, miskin, he's going to his chatuna, he's going to his chupa, and now all of a sudden he sees symptoms of possible leprosy, of tzarat. Oh boy, what's the halacha? Notnim lo shiv'a yeme amishte. We give him 7 days of the sheva brachot, of the wedding, before even coming to check. We don't call the kohen doesn't come to check at all, not to decide tameh or taho. We give him first the 7 days. Lo ulveto veliksuto. And this applies both to tzarat that appeared on him, on his body, that's lo. Ulveto, or if it's tzarat that appeared on his house, or if it's ulksut veliksuto, if it's tzarat that appeared on his clothing. As we know, there are three types of tzarat. So for all these kinds, for a chatan, we give him 7 days, and only afterwards we deal with it. So you see, ubeyom hera'otpo, there are days where we choose not to see it in order not to spoil his simcha. Vechen baregel, and the same thing, if simanet tzara'at appeared on someone during the regel, during the chag, notnim lo shiv'at yemeh haregel. We give him 7 days of the regel, of the chag, let Pesach finish, let Sukkot finish, and then afterwards we deal with it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, the Braita continues, Rabbi says, Eno tzarich, you don't need to learn from the Pasuk uviyom hera odbo. Hare u omer, v'tziva ha-kohen ufinu et ha-bayit. Hare, you already see an open Pasuk whereby the tzara'at of the house, by tzara'at ha-bayit, so it says when the Kohen comes, he first commands, before he says anything, before he checks the symptoms on the walls of the house, he tells everyone, remove everything from the house, clear out the house, and then only afterwards he will come in and pronounce the house tameh if he needs to. So what do you see from here? That it all depends on the Kohen. The Kohen chooses not to say anything until you remove everything from the house. So Rabbi says, "Im mamtinim lo lidvar hareshut, if even for matters of optional matters, which means just not to have the vessels, you know, in the house tameh, to remove them, we give the time, we delay the kohen in order to remove all the property that the person has." Kol sheken nidvar mitzvah. So surely for the purpose of a mitzvah, which means not to take away the simcha of chatan or the simcha of the chag, that's good enough reason to delay the kohen checking the simanim as well. So you don't need to learn from uviyom hera odbo and be medayek like we saw before. We have an open pasuk, v'tziva ha-kohen ufinu et ha-bayit. So the Gemara asks, my benayhu. Okay, bottom line, they both agree. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi agree that it's up to the kohen. The Kohen can choose to see or to delay, right? Just Rabbi Yehuda learns it from Ubiyom Era'odbo, and Rabbeinu HaKadosh learns it from Uvetziva HaKohen Ufinu Et HaBayit. So the Gemara asks, my benai, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference if you learn from here or from here? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, you're right, there's no difference le'alacha. Mashmaut dorshim ika benayu. It's just the machloket how to interpret the meaning of the psukim. That's the machloket between them. Do you see it more in this pasuk, or do you see it more in this pasuk? One learns the halacha that it's up to the kohen from the pasuk of uviyom hera'otbo, and one learns it from the pasuk of v'tziva kohen. It's not. There's no halachic nafkamina. That's Abaye's answer. Rava, however, says, V'rava amar, there is a nafkamina. Dvar hareshut ika benayhu. there is a difference regarding if the reason why you're going to delay the examination of the Kohen is only because of Dvar HaReshut, of something that is optional, not a mitzvah. Which means Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can delay the examination only for the sake of a mitzvah. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ubi yom hera'ot bo, yesh yamim v'yesh yamim," and only by the chatan or by the regel. Whereas Rabbeinu, but by reshut, that would not be a good enough reason to delay the examination. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who learns it from Ufinu et Abayit, that over there, that's divrei reshut. So he learns from there, even if the reason is because of Dvar HaReshut, it's also good enough reason to delay the examination by the Kohen. So the Gemara asks, V'Rabbi Yehuda, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda refuses to learn from Vetziva Kohen Ufinu Et Abayit? Why he only learns from Uviyom Era'ot Bo? Mehatam lo gamrinan dechidushu, because Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't learn from the case of Tzara'at Abayit. From the case of Tzara'at HaBayit, where it says Vetziva HaKohen Ufinu Et HaBayit, that altogether is a chidush. That's a novelty of the halacha of Tum'at Tzara'at. What's the chidush of Tzara'at HaBayit? Deha'etzim ve'avanim ve'alma lo mitamu. Because normally stones and wood do not become, they're not susceptible to Tum'ah. Plain stones and plain blocks of wood are not tameh, unless they're made into a keli first. But if they're not made into a keli, that's called pshute kli etz, they're not mekabel tum'ah normally. V'hachamitamu. And by tzara'at, however, they do become tameh. Even just the etzim va'avanim, that's a very big chidush of the Torah. That's one case where the Torah was mechadesh, that etzim va'avanim become tameh. So being that altogether tzara'at abayit is a chidush, we can't learn from there to everyone else. To every other case, which means you, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, are learning from there that just like over there you can delay the examination of the Kohen for Divrei Reshut, so too by any other Tzara'at, even Tzara'at HaGuf or Tzara'at HaBeged, you're allowed to delay the examination of the Kohen. It's up to the Kohen. Where are you learning that? From Vetziva Kohen Ufinu Et Abayit. That's only said by Tzara'at HaBayit. Tzara'at HaBayit is a chidush. When you have a chidush, you don't learn from there to everyone else. En lachbo ela chidusho. You only have it by the chidush itself. That's why Rabbi Yehuda preferred to learn it from the pasuk of Uviyom Hera'ot Bo, which is said by regular Tzara'at HaGuf. From there we learn Yesh Yamim V'Yesh Yamim. That's how we learn that you can delay the examination of the Kohen, but only Lidva Mitzvah. The Rabbi Yama, what does Rabbi answer to that? Rabbi says, Itzterich, you need both psukim to know this din that you can delay the examination of the Kohen. Because if the Torah would only tell us this din from Ubiyom Hera Odbo, Havamina, I would only know Lidvar Mitzvah in, Lidvar Rishut, lo. That only for Dvar Mitzvah you're allowed to delay, but not Lidvar Rishut. Katav Rachamana Vetziva HaKohen. That's why the Torah writes, Vetziva HaKohen Ufinu Et Abayit. In that case, why are you delaying the Kohen from going in? Only to save your property. That's Dvar Rishut. And yet you're allowed to delay the Kohen. That's how we know that even Lidvar Rishut it's mutar. And what about the other way around? Ve'i Katav Rachamana Vetziva HaKohen. If the Torah would only tell us from Vetziva HaKohen, Hava Amina, I would say, Hani in. In this case, yes, you're allowed to delay the Kohen. Delav tum'ah de gufe, because it's not a type of tum'ah of the body. It's only a tum'ah on the house. So if it's not a tum'ah on the body, that's when you can delay the examination of the Kohen. Aval tum'ah de gufe, ema michzachaz yale. But when it comes to tum'ah of tzara'at of the body, I would say the Kohen has to come and examine it immediately. Tzricha. That's why it's necessary for the Torah to tell us that even in this case, uveyom hera odbo, even in the case of tum'at haguf, also, it's up to the Kohen, and you can delay the examination of the Kohen in some instances, such as a chatan or during the regel.